This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now for the Rex Ryan Report, brought to you by Bud Light. And the coach joins us right now with a wild week 7 that we've already been talking about for a while. But, man, there's so many places we can go. But I know, Bart, that you guys both are probably dying to dive into this Cowboys thing and what happened with this team. Bart, you said it last week that the Cowboys have always been soft, and people flipped out about you saying it. It's funny how today, and now everyone is saying it. And what we saw, and Rex, I guess that's the perfect place to start. What we saw after Dalton gets hit by Bosa, and I guess what we didn't see, which is a response to them. As a coach, how are you looking at your players after a moment like that?
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have had to look far for me, because I would have been out there. If I mean, there's no way in hell that's not acceptable, and you're not going to do it. But Bart hits it on the head. We know that team's soft. We know they are. And here it is. You know, remember, this is the same team that had trouble running to the football for 70 plays. And we expect something other than this. And this was absolutely atrocious. And as a football team, oh, hell no. You may beat us. You may do whatever. You damn sure ain't going to do that to our quarterback without repercussion. And not only that, we always had a thing. If you take out one of ours, we're going to take out two of yours. Great. And that was a promise. And it was a given. And I'm sorry, but that's the life we live. It might not be ethical and all that. It doesn't matter. We stood for something. This team's standing for nothing. And I will say this. Like, there would have been there would have been fireworks, 100% fireworks.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bart. Tell them what would have happened.
They would have had to call the police out there, because it would have been too many fights for them to break up. They would have had to call the authorities out there, because this is the thing. Not only is Andy Dalton your quarterback, Andy Dalton is a veteran quarterback that has respect in this league, that has done everything the right way. If you do that to that type of player, you have no respect for the game. The Steelers defended Mason Rudolph and went out there, and it was a melee. That shows you the culture of Pittsburgh. I mean, it wasn't just some fight. You saw Pouncey coming over the top with overhand straight rights, crosses, uppercuts, whatever he could. And that's what the response I expected. But, Dill, to go back to Rex's early point, when we ever played the Dallas Cowboys, we always realized and said that they were a front-running team. This is a team, and players run around, and I don't know if they come in with it, but when they get into that environment, they acculturate and they embrace it, because they get more credit for being superstars or important pieces of the NFL without any of the accomplishments that you're supposed to have on the resume. They've never overachieved. They've always been a team that we say before the season, oh, this is their year. We talk about Cleveland, how every year everybody believes in Cleveland, this is their year. Well, how about Dallas? We do that. We talk about Jerry's World. So they walk around with this bravado, because Texas and Dallas is so big, it's almost like their own country. So they walk around, they get patted on the back for accomplishing absolutely nothing. So they walk around with this smug belief that they're better than other people, right? Because they got the best facilities, because they got the high profile owner. They just don't have the W's and the hard felt wins to get the respect of those in the league. So everybody knows that if you hit them in the mouth, they don't respond. And the fact that McCarthy has to come out and defend that means that this is much bigger than a McCarthy problem. This is more of a, to me, Dallas Cowboys problem in the type of tone and environment that they set about the brotherhood and what it means to wear the star. Because I thought that wear the star was something that you had to stand up for, and that you would not only play for the guys that you're playing for now, but also to respect Michael Irvin, to respect Deion Sanders, to respect Charles Haley, to respect Williams, to respect Flozell the Hotel, to respect Larry Allen. Are you serious? That just happened to a team on the offensive side of the ball, that Larry Allen, the biggest gangster to ever walk around in the NFL from Compton? I'm talking about the only person that I've ever apologized to. Are you freaking kidding me? This is the Dallas Cowboys?
You're so right, Bart. And the other thing, too. Look, from day one, we talk about fighting. Rules of wearing the decal. All right? Always grab the other color jersey so your guy gets an extra couple of pops in. We teach it. They don't teach nothing there. And you're exactly right. Imagine you mentioned Larry Allen. How about the big tackle that we had for a hot second, Eric Williams? Same type of deal, man. Remember, he was scaring everybody in the damn locker room. He's setting his pads before a game. I'm like, damn. But that's what you think of when you think of the Dallas Cowboys. They ain't playing like that.
They're a bunch of individuals. That means they're a bunch of individuals. They're not a team. Those are a bunch of collective individuals looking for a way to survive. And this is a team that's given up not only on their selves, but given up on their team and the organization. They're just trying to get through the season. The problem is you still have about 10 games or 9 games left. So if that's what the type of performance that you're going to give.
In a winnable division, no less.
You're winnable division.
The Eagles
saying.
Need to cut
like,
the
They're right salary. In the middle of it.
Yeah.
They're right in the middle of this. And yes, you can. I mean, I don't care. If you back into the playoffs, it's okay. But here's the thing. I will say this. Mike McCarthy has, like, the players haven't heard you. You haven't identified, like, nobody identifies with you. Nobody's hearing you, your message. None of it. Okay? But this was the only time after his press conference at the end where I saw emotion in his face, where it was like, no, this is it. I think he finally realized, hey, you know what, Mike, you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You either coaching this or allowing it to happen. And to me, he showed that emotion in his face. It showed that he finally gets it. Nobody gives a rat's about you won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. You ain't their coach. They gave up on you. When it was some guy that looks like he's, just a water boy or something. And so right now. So to me, it's like you haven't done anything. And he finally realized, you know what, I better step my dang game up. And he finally looked like I saw it in his face finally. And we'll see if this team's different because of it. You know, we'll see.
Now, I wanted to wait till the end, but, you know, it's a perfect transition into something that I want to get into. And the only thing I want to get into with you with the Jets. And it has to do with just what you just said. Is the fact that as a head coach, right, you're either teaching it or allowing it to happen. But it's also when you see what happened to Adam Gase or maybe what he did to himself. I almost feel, I said this, he fired himself. Because if he's not the play caller anymore, what is he? I mean, Rex, he's not a leader of men. He's not a developer. So essentially, what is he now at this point?
Right now, he's sit back playing out the string. And that's what he's doing. He knows he's fired. Damn, I mean, look, everybody will fire him. He's going to be gone. At the end of the year, that's the way the Johnsons handle it. They fired many guys or whatever, and that's how they do it. It's a class way to do it, let you coach out the season. But this guy doesn't even want to. And I think he's just trying to get it over with. That's what I see from him. He gives up play calling duties and all that. Like, come on, there isn't a guy on that staff that you'd sit back and say, oh, this guy's done a hell of a job. I would say BS. None of them's done a good job. Okay, so to me, that's going to be the easiest thing for a new coach coming in. Like, look, when I came in, I kept Mike Westhoff. I kept Ryan Schottenheimer. Those guys were part of the solution, you know, not part of, you know, like, but the other one, man, I'd get rid of these. I'd run every single one of them out. It would take me 5 seconds to do it.
I tell you what, you know, watching Mims a little bit and watching Perriman, it kind of gave me a glimpse of what it maybe could have looked like at the beginning of the season. If Crowder maybe was there as well, then they may have had enough weapons. But it was a lack of talent. You saw that they didn't have the weapons to stay up, and it looked like Buffalo was sleepwalking. Once they made the decision that to see, okay, well, we shouldn't be playing a zone for the Jets, you know, and I think maybe the zone was for more Joe Flacco, and then they decided to heat him up, and you saw the lack that they couldn't have any adjustments left. But I want to go to another game. And, you know, it was a game that was a throwback. And remember the old AFC North. And it used to include the Tennessee Titans. It used to include the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it used to include the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, you know, Cleveland and Cincinnati. But that was an old throwback game. And Ben almost let them back in it. But I thought if you really want to take a step back and look at it, it looks like Pittsburgh, to me, you know, is the best team in that division. And I'm looking at our old team and thinking that maybe they should be out there really aggressively making a move for a guy like Julio Jones or A.J. Green, because if the Steelers are going to be able to play like that with Claypool and with some of the other weapons they have and Ben Penn at a high level, then it looks like to me like Lamar Jackson don't have enough, enough firepower on the offensive side, because it looks like they've put almost every high-priced free agent and draft pick on the defensive side of the ball and adding on with Yannick, which was needed, but they still are a little short when it comes to, getting some firepower, and Dez Bryant is not the answer.
Bart, I get where you're coming from, but I think what Eric DaCosta did in bringing in Yannick and Dakwe showed you that they're gonna try to thinking about beating Kansas City, and they know to do that you're gonna have to get there with a four man rush. You can't blitz because you can't match up.
Absolutely.
Against their weapons. And so I think they took that approach already. And I get where you're coming from, Bart. I get where you're coming from, but you can't make every single move. This was something that was available to them at the right price. We had an old saying: right player, right price. And I think they got that in Yannick and Dakwe. And look, let's not give up on this Raven offense, because I think they just got to go back and do what Lamar Jackson does best, and try not to get into a, where he's dropping back to throw 40 times a game. And they'll be fine. I think the Ravens match up with Pittsburgh, and I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh. And we'll find out. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. But I think Baltimore can win this game.
Well, the good thing is they're coming off a bye, and Pittsburgh is coming off a physical game, and hopefully the fresher team will win if they don't come out flat. But I'm still hoping they got one last move in. Could you imagine if they were able to get Julio Jones Julio Jones added to that offense, and he could be the guy that's able to work, or A.J. Green, a guy who's available a little bit? I know so many places we want to go with you, and this, right. We can focus on the AFC North a little later. But let's go over to what you saw from your favorite topic outside of your son, Danny Dimes, who clocked 21 miles an hour.
Dude couldn't get 22, though, could he?
That's the problem. He tried to get 22.
He should have geared down
to 19, and he would have been fine. He would have strived it in. But Baker Mayfield had a career-defining second-half response, after OBJ went out. But, I want to keep it in perspective. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. How does he continue to answer the critics, and is he capable of answering the critics if the competition on the other side is a little tougher?
Yeah, we're going to find out. Let's face it. I mean, if he doesn't throw that touchdown pass, they lose to the Bengals, we're saying how the other kid outplayed him on the other side. I mean, that's just the facts of it. But Baker Mayfield, make no mistake, he had one hell of a football game. After, of course, the first five incompletions and the one interception, from that point on, he was amazing. And the crazy thing about this is it all happened when Odell Beckham went in the game.
Went out, yep.
And to me, it's
sense.
Like, no, it shouldn't make any sense. Look, OBJ is one of the best receivers in the league, so this makes no sense. Yet, what happened is, and you heard him after his press conference, he talked about how, I think we see that we can use all of our players and we can trust everybody. I think he was speaking to the play calling and not trying to force feed Odell Beckham, but to let the offense work. And I think that's kind of what happened. And he played a hell of a lot better than he's played, these last several weeks. So to me, I think maybe we learned something there about, hey, look, just let the offense run, and we'll see a better Baker Mayfield because of it.
Well, we saw this in Detroit, too, because you saw Stafford used to always try and force everything to Megatron. And then what happens when Megatron retired, he had one of his best seasons with Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, because the ball went where the defense dictated it to, and you didn't have to try and satisfy a receiver and try and feed him. Not that Megatron was ever a distraction. It was just that Stafford wanted to make sure that he fed him, and he used him as a crutch, not as, he didn't go where the ball was supposed to go.
Right. No, and it's, I mean, to me, give me the best players. That's who I would want to play with. But I think there's something, and especially, you mentioned Stafford, but especially Baker Mayfield's makeup.
Yeah.
He wants to be the freaking guy. He wants to be the guy doing the commercials. He wants to be the face of the franchise. That's the kind of guy he is. And when you take it from him, when Odell Beckham came in,
takes
you basically took that from him. And so, to me, for some reason, it makes no sense, but for some reason, he plays better without him.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes the rest of the season now with Odell being out with the ACL tear that he revealed this morning. But you know, it is interesting how you mentioned that and boy, how you bring up Stafford and Megatron, because it could be that feeling that you just feel this pressure knowing that when Odell's not getting targeted, the whole world knows about it because he talks about it. He's whining. He's, you know, he obviously is very moody when he's not getting the ball. So you feel like, I got to take care of him so much that it almost distracts you and keeps you from doing just playing the game naturally, and maybe that'll change. So that'll be worth watching. But another thing, Rex, we really need to watch now is what's going on in New England.
The chicken Cam or Newton, the egg. The chicken or the egg.
It's Cam Newton being benched. Now, there's a lot of this. Yeah, talk about an onion. This game had so many different layers to it because of Jimmy G coming back to Foxborough, Tom Brady having another great game, and almost like Belichick wanting to look to the owner's box saying, told you, right? Told you we should have kept this kid. But still, what you see out of Cam Newton, him getting benched second half, is just it's poor performance by him. But is Cam still Cam? Is this rust? Is this a new scene? Or is he just not what he used to be? What do you say?
Well, he's definitely not what he used to be. And I've been saying it forever. This team has no weapons. Yep. So here's the problem. You know, you want to see how great Tom Brady is? It's not the 370 yards he threw for yesterday. It's look at New England. This guy won a Super Bowl with this sorry group.
Yes.
This guy won 12 games last year with this same group. So to me, that's how good Tom Brady is. And I told anybody that wanted to listen that, hey, you take the greatest player of all time is greater than the greatest coach of all time. And Tom Brady is showing everybody that, and New England is also. And that's what I see here. Cam Newton, guys, let's go back. He was 0-8 his last eight games that he started in Carolina. And the fact that, yes, I was hoping that he turned back the clock. I was. And I think I fell, you know, victim of it too, man. I thought he was back when I saw that Seattle game. What we found out later is that's just Seattle's defense. They give up 500 yards a game. So that's, you know, it was kind of fool's gold. But right now, he can't hit it. And that's the thing. His fundamentals are awful too. Like he's, you know, he how do you short arm like passes? Like he's bouncing balls, or he's, you know, hanging them way over people. It's unbelievable. He looks so bad right now. It's really unfortunate.
See, I think he still can play, but he has to play with a team that's ready to build where he can be the finishing piece. New England for years have got away with bad draft picks, and N'Keal Harry would be one of them, and being able to hold on to players that played a particular role that was over the hill a little bit, but they did something specifically well. Like Edelman, you know, used to always be able to separate, but now he's 34 years old, and he's starting to you know, really, you know, start to really reflect his age. And, you know, for years, everybody, you know, we saw this with Peyton Manning, right? Peyton Manning was a guy who made a average offensive line look great. Tom Brady was a guy that made average players look great. He was a guy that made guys look like stars. Hell, he took Danny Woodhead and made Danny Woodhead a household name.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, people, he had his own t-shirts, got wood, you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. And he was Danny Woodhead. We knew what Danny Woodhead was. Like, damn, was Danny Woodhead that damn good? What the hell was we doing? Why did we let him go? You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
But it's just because Tom Brady is that good. He's always right. He's a force multiplier. You see it happening in Tampa. And the difference is, not only is Tom Brady still the GOAT, now he has one of the best rosters in the game with no flaws. And when you add Antonio Brown to the slot, it's going to be almost impossible because you got two vertical guys on the outside. You got a pass-catching tight end. And also, you're going to be able to put Antonio Brown in the slot. So for years, I've always believed that it wasn't about the triangle. It was the fact that Jordan was in it and Scottie Pippen, and it was Kobe and Shaq in it. And, you know, because the triangle didn't look like nothing when it was out here with the Knicks. You know what I mean? So the triangle.
Right.
So it ain't about the triangle. It's about the person. You know, who's your best player? You know. So for years, I thought that Bill Belichick would retire after after Tom Brady left, because he knew that it was more about Tom than it was about his X's and O's and his ability to acquire talent. Because for years he had did horrible in the draft. He's been wrong on so many draft picks. He's been wrong on so many players. And now people are going to finally understand that it was about having the greatest player arguably to ever put on the pass, not about his genius. Anybody can be a genius when you have the best player in the world executing and making you right.
I'm well said, Bart. And when you look at it, if we would have had Tom Brady as our quarterback, no offense to, you know, to Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith, whatever. You think we would have won all them games? I think we would have won a hell of a lot of them. And we'd have a lot of banners up there. And I believe that.
We'd have won a couple. Alex Smith. We need much.
Yeah, we didn't need it. Because our defense was a hell of a lot better than New England's ever was. So the thing is, you're right. It's this quarterback was so dang good. You know, Tom Brady was so dang good. And look, Belichick's the best coach of all time. We get it. But this guy is such a difference maker. And you're right when you talk about the people that he would draft. They would always have bad drafts. Always. And it just now it's finally caught up to him. For 3 years I've been saying how horrible their talent is. And man, you see it big time.
And look at the division now too. When you think about how the Bills at 5-2, the Dolphins at 3-3, and they're going with their rookie quarterback now coming out of the bye, with it obviously very much in play for a playoff spot with the Patriots at 2-4, which we haven't seen that in 20 years. Them being this late in the season under 500, we'll see what happens in Week 8. But Rex, always great to talk to you after what was a really interesting Week 7. We'll catch up with you next week. All the best.
Tell your son.
All right, thanks guys.
Tell your son Rex to look up. Because your body goes where your face goes. So he looked down and he fell down.
I know it. Come on, Daniel Jones. Come on, buddy. We always know that. How do you, if you're stumbling, what do? Eyes to the sky.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what walk of life you're from. This is one of those rare songs that no matter who you are and what your background is, if this song will make you crazy.
And I think he explained what this song was about, right? Is he actually saw his, because his wife actually cheated on him with the architect. In real life.
Wait, you heard this story?
Yeah. She cheated on him with the architect or some stuff, right? She ran off with the architect. So this is him basically, this story is about that. This is really a dark thing, but, you know, we don't listen to that. We just listen to...
Oh, the drum solo is insane. Yeah, it's insane.
When that happens, somebody can die. Like, this is a dangerous song, man, because it gets you to that those tribal, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be ready to kill somebody, man.
Exactly.
Most people think you got to listen to Lil
people
Jeezy,
think
though,
people think
Tupac.
People think that this was about like how he saw a friend of his drown and the guy who like let him drown. He invited him to his show and he sang it to him or something like that, which is obviously
his wife was an adulteress.
But this was actually about what was going on in his divorce. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, see, you ain't think a black brother from Detroit would go
listen,
deep into
listen,
the go
don't
deep
you
into
go
the
racist
south.
On
no, no,
me.
Talking,
it ain't
no,
about,
about
that.
Them. No, I'm talking
I
about them.
I know what you're about.
I'm talking about they, the people out in radio land. They was like, how did he know that? I go deep with my field.
You don't think I blow people's mind when I tell them about stuff? They're like, how's this white guy from the suburbs know stuff like that?
Let me tell you, the greatest term you can get in the hood, you know, for white guys, they call you white chocolate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
You are white chocolate, man. Cheddar Bob, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Hun. I'm probably more closer to Cheddar Bob than I am white chocolate.
They call you mayo. So, like, terms of endearment.
Mayonnaise.
You know what I'm saying? White boy Rick, they add white boy to anything. That's your name. Like,
that's all right.
White boy Hun. Or they go Cheddar Bob. Or they go young mayo. You know what I'm saying? Those are all terms of endearment. Or they call you white chocolate, man. You know what I'm saying?
What they're calling me right now on social media?
Jumper.
I did have a sweet jumper. All right, so Kyrie put out his sneakers, right? The Kyrie 7s. And the picture that is up of them, they are blue and orange. Oh, so I saw it, and I'm like, why are these blue and orange? And people like are telling me they're not orange, they're yellow. Bart?
I'm trying to find them.
So now this has become basically the dress blue or gold for me. Like, this is now, it's official.
You know they say men see colors different.
Maybe. I'm looking at these, and I do not see yellow. This is orange. And he's trolling.
Them,
and I still might buy them because they are pretty fire, actually. I can't
find them.
Go on my Twitter. It's also on Barton Hahn right now. You can decide because Michael Nieves helped us out.
Yeah,
Anthony says orange. Kyrie's. I probably will buy them. Unfortunately.
You ain't buying nothing. We're gonna call the J. Will. People that got people in high places. We don't pay for stuff, son. What we gonna do? We gonna call J. Will.
Jordan used to take care of me when Melo was a Nick.
Right. Oh, we gonna tell
those
J. Will.
Not yellow. That's
we gonna
orange.
Tell J. Will because I footprinted him last week. You know what I'm saying? He had the two fake, and I filled in for him. Footprints. You know what I'm saying? What good teammates do.
True.
So he owed my boy some Kyrie. So he gonna call Kyrie.
Saying they're Warriors colors. They ain't Warriors colors, man. Look at these things. They're orange, man. Like, he's trolling us. I love it.
He is, man. You know,
I do like him, though. I gotta admit, though, I do love these are
Kyrie
like
always has some fire.
Yeah,
too, man.
I like.
I got the Bruce Lees up there.
I hate myself. I hate myself for loving these.
Oh, bro, these are orange, man.
That is orange. See, you agree too. They're orange. Everybody that's telling me that they are like they're yellow, you're out of your mind.
Bro,
oh, no, they're Golden State Warriors. Why would Kyrie have Golden State Warriors colors? Stop it.
Yeah, these are orange, bro.
They're just messing with me right now. Messing with me. All right. It's Barton Hahn, and we are driven by the Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence to take on almost anything, including wet leaves on your pavement today.
Man,
be careful,
man,
everybody.
I got to start retreating
experience
from our
amazing.
Own account, man. What I'll be doing.
See your Lexus dealer. Yeah, what are you doing, by the way? Because I tweet stuff at you, nothing, no response. Crickets.
I'm worse than
DiPietro. Rick doesn't even – he just looks at Twitter. He never tweets.
I don't know nothing about – you know what I'm saying? I'm retweeting everything right now, son. I'm on it.
Get on it, man. You got to be a little more active. But
I'm
we're going to start.
Now.
When
woke,
we get together
– You're making me woke. You're making me woke now.
I am. We're going to start doing – I'm telling you, that's our thing. We are going to definitely do, like, the Miami Vice stuff. Like, Halloween was big. You understand now, my previous relationship, my previous radio relationship, this was when we did it – on Halloween, we did a show at a bar in Long Island. And we were – Rick went as Hillary and I went as Trump.
Oh, that's dope.
It was hilarious.
I want to go as Bernie Sanders. Because I want to have a fake ball spot. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a ball spot. And I want to have thinning hair. And I want the glasses. Man, I want to go as Bernie Sanders, man. Like, Bernie Sanders is like a cool old dude that's cool to hang around. He probably take
no,
you out
that's
there.
Larry David. You see, don't mistake.
Yeah, he looks, like, Larry he looks like Larry David.
But
he
Larry
looks
David's
like
the cool
David.
Old guy. Like,
he looks like
cool
Larry David.
Guy.
But he looks like Larry David.
It was like, but Rick and I had a blast. That was Rick going as Hillary was, and he went all out too, full on like just cross dressing. It was unbelievable.
So he had a kilt on like Roddy Roddy Piper.
He went, like I said, he went all in, and it was quite the show.
I've always wondered what it felt like to kind of wear a dress or a kilt.
Phrasing.
Well, I mean, a kilt is just, you know,
but it's,
I mean,
like
it's very
able,
manly. It's very
it's like,
manly.
Yeah, but
like you have
saying.
The build for it. If you put a, you would rock a kilt.
Killed
like you would
Kenny.
Definitely, you would destroy. Like you'd put on a kilt, and people are like, yeah, that looks good. I put it on, and people are like, what are you doing?
That's because you're so tall. You that part. You like you at that point. Like when you over 6'4", like it just is everything
but,
looks so long.
My problem
it's
is it's
lot of,
six.
Lot of
yeah, it's the 38-inch inseam. That's my problem. It's
yeah,
the
exactly.
long ass legs, and then like you know, it's not. I'm not exactly like, you know,
we
Quadzilla.
We give you the tights like a ballerina. You know what I'm saying? we give you the tights.
Brishnikov all of a sudden. Yeah, that'll look good.
We need to give you the tights like the Mr. T like type tights. Remember him and Hulk Hogan was wrestling and stuff, and he gave him like the pouch, the fanny pack. You know what I'm saying? With all your keys and stuff in it.
I'm leaping Lenny Poffo in that old thing. That's what I am, man.
Let's get to the call.
Yeah, let's go.
800-993-7776.
Let's go with Dennis in New Jersey. Dennis.
Hey.
Yeah.
What up, Dennis?
What's up, guys? I got a quick question here. I love Sam. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I got a dream scenario. You guys let me know what you think. We take the number one pick. We take, obviously, Trevor Lawrence. Then we spend some of that money. We get him Kenny Galladay, maybe make a trade for Julio or sign T.Y. You got Crowder and T.Y. in the middle, Mims and Galladay on the outside, and then you draft ATN and a couple guards in the draft. What do you think?
I mean, that's not bad, man. I mean, Galladay is a beast, and you know,
got to make him want to come here, though.
Well, Galladay's going to be the odd man out. He's got to be coming up for a contract pretty soon. They got to know they can't pay him. They got him because then CeeDee Lamb is right behind him. They've already paid Cooper. They're going to have to spend a lot of money next year addressing their offensive line. You know, they got Martin. They got Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith's getting long in the tooth. He can't stay healthy. You know, yeah. He may be on his way out. So I think, listen, we can go out and get the best guard out there, the best center, and I think that'll start solidifying everything. I want to see what this Clark is about as well, to see if he can play. Cameron Clark, see if he can play. We got to find a left guard. I would love to see Adoga finish the season at left guard to see if he can play that position, because they talk about how talented he is. He was with Sam Darnold. He's a young player. He struggled on the outsides. Put him on the inside and see if we can have Eric Flowers rebirth, like Eric Flowers has revitalized his career playing guard now, and he got paid good money to do it now.
Now, my man B. Reich told me to keep an eye on Tennessee. Trey Smith, this guy is the number one offensive guard right in the draft, so going in. 6'6", 330. How do you think that would look next to Becton?
I'll take that. That looks like Flozell the hotel and Larry Allen.
Scrappy. I'll go with that for sure. All right, we'll keep the calls rolling. J Dub says they're yellow. J Dub is off the show. We've kicked him off the show. Yeah. Anthony says orange. Bart says orange. It's orange. All right, these are blue and orange.
I'm looking at my Mario Lemieux jersey here, right? And it kind of has like a
it's black
golden,
and yellow.
It has like a golden yellow. But if you start to add a little orange to it, it can start. It's like, you know, what's that line where the color starts to change? Like, what's the line where red becomes pink? You know what I mean? I think it's somewhere playing in that shaded, you know, part in the middle. You know what I mean? Like red turns to pink.
I hear you. But there's other. They're called other colors. I've never, like, you know, that's when they start doing the whole magenta thing on you.
Yeah.
My 5-year-old daughter tells me things are magenta. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, if I tell, like, put that red, it's not red. It's magenta.
The most complicated color I ever remember is fuchsia.
Yeah, give me these colors. I feel like that's when the Crayola box is way too big.
Yeah.
And just give me blue. All right. Just give me blue. I don't need cyan. I just need blue. Thank you. 800-919-3776. Let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right, let's just quickly on the World Series. Now, tonight they're off because it's Monday night. You don't want to go up against. It's just the off day between. Game 6 Tuesday, and the Dodgers, after their win yesterday in another wild one. What a huge game. Saturday night was a great game. Yeah, what a wild ending, all that stuff.
On an error like that?
Ooh, just the base running, the excitement, all that stuff. Like, it's just, that's what you want. You want action, and we got it. And, you know, even last night's game, Kershaw.
They got too damn aggressive. Still at home, really?
Well, that's where we're going. So Kershaw pitched great in this game. Another really good outing for him, and maybe they're going to rewrite the narrative about Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers do get the win, but up there, so down 3-2, the Rays have first and third. I think it's the seventh inning, right? It was two out, and Margo decides that he's going to try to steal home, which I'm all for it. Kershaw's got the long, right? He's got that long delivery. And then also that you see if maybe you can get a balk out of it. It's aggressive. I love it. But then you wonder, boy, the Rays who follow all this analytics, that's their go-to, and Kevin Cash explains that play here.
I know Kershaw has the real high handset, whatever he does, and I think Manny just felt like he had a bead on it that he could time him up. You know, frustrating inning. Man on third, no outs, then first and third, no outs. Pop up, strike out, and then get thrown out trying to do that. Ideally, we got to find a way to get that guy in to tie the game right there.
He like, he went,
oh, wait a minute,
full,
no.
He went full Tropic Thunder. He like, yo, I ain't gonna do that dumb stuff. Like, yeah, we gotta
do
that.
So Margo basically on his own in the World Series.
Yeah!
I'm stealing home. You're what? Like, what do you think the conversation was in his brain? Because I'm watching that replay, and the third base coach is just standing there like, where did he go?
He like, so
hey, he
about to talk to him, hey, Mark, what the hell? Run, Forrest, right. Run! Right. You better get there running.
It's like, hey, if I'm the third baseman, I'm just looking at the third base coach like, hey, you want to get your guy? What?
First,
what do you mean?
You know the first baseman was looking at Kershaw. Get him. Shoot the J. He's like, Prince, shoot the first baseman. Like, shoot the J.
Man, I loved it. Now we got to wait a day to see if the Dodgers can complete the mission and win the World Series. All right, there's that. We're late on time, so let's just jump through a couple of things here and get right to something that I'm dying to get your reaction to, and that is Green Bay smoked the Texans. 35-20 was the final, as Houston is now 1-6. They've lost two since that win after Bill O'Brien was fired, and how J.J. Watt was just about how football's fun again, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Blah, blah, blah. All right, so here's J.J. Watt now, as the 1-6 Texans are facing basically a nowhere season, getting smoked again by Green Bay. Here's J.J. Watt.
Compare it to the ways you'd seen him play earlier in his when you guys played against him?
He played very well today.
It's about Aaron Rodgers, obviously.
What did he do that made him play well?
Threw the ball to the receivers and they caught.
Oh, wow, JJ.
Really, this is who you become in adverse situations?
Does someone not sound miserable? Now, trade deadline, Bart, is coming up a week from tomorrow. Would the Texans consider this, and would anybody consider taking on JJ Watt, who you have been very critical of?
He's not the same player, man. He's been hurt. Like, listen, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt, you know, with the defense MVPs he got. But ever since he started hurting his back, he's not that. Right now, he's not even the best Watt in his family. The best Watt is in Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying?
He's not even the best Watt in his family.
I'm just saying. So
his dad makes a good Subway sandwich, too.
It's in the backyard. I heard it. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like, and they still can't get the order right. But, you're looking
come
at
here every day.
And you look at the fact that he has a $100 million contract and the fact that you know they have no first-round draft picks, maybe you can get a second-round draft pick and try and get some of the draft picks that, you know, Bill O'Brien gave away and get $100 million off the contract. Now, you're wondering,
good luck with that, though.
Who would benefit from that? Hell, I don't know. It seems like, you know, because if the closer he gets to the end, it's only so much old on that. I mean, Tampa Bay's buying everybody.
Yeah, he's 31 now. He's got like his cap.
He's 31 hit. And his back is 51.
Well, he's got 1 year left after, so next year, and that's it.
Yeah, they ain't re-signing him. So they
17
might as well get rid
million,
of him.
17.5 after next year.
So I would trade him like they traded Justin Houston. I would get him up out of there.
Interesting, right? If there's a team that's, you know, maybe has a need, and maybe he needs a fresh start as well. But something to keep an eye on, that's for sure. But he sounds miserable now. He was miserable with Bill O'Brien. Now he's miserable with Romeo Crennel. He doesn't sound like he's happy. And Bart, as you said, he's not even the best Watt in his family. Which is what a great line that is. All right, that's Audio Files. Great job, Anthony. J-Dub, come on, you know, put some glasses on. Check that out. I want to know what his wife thinks. Is it yellow or is it orange?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know. I'd rather hear from her. I'd rather hear from Disney Mom Life than from J-Dub on this one. Because I trust women when it comes to color. And that is orange. No doubt about it.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's put our team together off tonight's Monday night game. Hey, no doubleheader today for Monday night, as everybody behaved. So we have Bears and Rams. And for the Rams, a huge game in their division, if you think about it. They're 4-2. Bears are 5-1, Bart. I mean, how much do you really buy into them being 5-1, potentially to go 6-1? But anyways, our team, MVP, will be Jared Goff, our quarterback. And then after that, our flexes, we go Robert Woods, we go David Montgomery, Allen Robinson, and Gerald Everett. It's because we want a tight end in there. So that's our team. That's what we put together. And you and I did not have a great weekend when it comes to our picks, mainly because, and again, we picked the right teams to lose. We just, it just didn't work out spread-wise. It's amazing. And Parkey, you owe me money, Parkey. Missing that extra point. Are you serious?
You're going to have to see Parkey in the streets.
Definitely.
I can see what this gambling
thing. He and Doug Bryant, two kickers that I don't want to see. Don't ever let me see them in person.
I see how people can hate players, like players in real life, because like they cost them real money. Like it's one thing to cost me money in fantasy league, like
you made
me lose my fantasy, but you made me lose real cheese. I don't like you very much.
Seriously, you could definitely see that being a major issue for some people. By the way, Jamie Stewart of News 12 tweeted the video that I was referencing about at the start of the SNY Jets post game of Adam Gase walking off the field. After the game, literally by himself, no one within 20 yards of him or more. And he goes into the tunnel, and there's Christopher Johnson waiting for him. and he pats him, and the two of them just disappear into the tunnel. And it just, you know, that's the moment to me. It's like, wow. Like, you know, that's where I just say, come on, guys. Hand over all football decisions to your GM and just do your best to just stay out of the way. Write the checks, support, don't make decisions. Please. Not anymore.
Damn, I thought we had another segment, man. It's 12:54.
Yeah. We got about 4 minutes to go here. People are still chiming in on the Kyrie shoes. Now Anthony says they're not yellow, they're not orange, they're flat. You like that? Yeah. And I'm waiting to hear. I don't trust J-Dub. J-Dub now is changing his mind because in a different picture they look, on the at Barton Hahn, they look orange. He first thought they were yellow. This is definitely is the dress blue or gold. This is what this is becoming.
He ain't got
spot.
No cataracts, do he? Is that why he's been through this weekend, moving and all that?
You know how it is when you move. You lose your mind. You're not normal again for a while. So I'll give it.
Was he trying to go to figure out if he's trying to get his marijuana card or something? I can't see. It's blue. What?
Who knows?
Oh, man, this guy got glaucoma.
Let's take Neil in the Bronx real quick. Neil?
What's up, Bart? What's up, huh? Let's play imagine for a while. If you guys are owners of a Major League Baseball team, right, and the Tampa Bay Rays took down the juggernaut pair of the Yankees to get to the World Series, and if they do beat the Dodgers, which is another juggernaut payroll, moving forward, would you guys as owners would think about spending Jurassic Park-type money to put a team together to get to the World Series?
I'm trying to understand. You saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the question.
Are we talking about the Mets and the
Jurassic? What do you mean?
Well, is it necessary to have a big payroll?
Well, it depends on who you are, because I think the Dodgers are proving that, you know, they had a trial and error, but then Tampa Bay represents the other side of it. I think it should be a mixture of the two. You should have some cheap players, but
your young guys are your cheap players. It's just like football, Bart. Again, and by the way, there's no cap in this damn sport.
Yeah.
There's no cap. So worrying about payroll is insane. The Rays operate that way because they have to. They don't operate that way because they're like, we're going to show you that we can do it this way. No. This is what we have to do. We're going to have to do our best doing it. The Royals did it for a couple of years and it worked out. Right. Like there are teams that actually have some. It's not long term, though. It's very short term success with a low payroll. And then you know what happens to the low payroll? You go to the World Series.
And they get paid.
Thank you. Glasnow and Blake Snell's. Blake Snell got paid. But there are guys that are going to start saying, you got to pay me. Yep. You're getting Charlie Morton on a discount.
A Rosarina.
Like, again, a young guy. Like, so that's the problem is, first of all, you're in New York. You're in a major market. The Mets tried to do it on a lower budget,
and we failed miserably. We ridiculed them too.
Go get
Jay Bruce with plantar fasciitis. He don't play for you. Then he go to Phillies next year. Start knocking the cover off the ball.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all. Like if you're going to tell me that Steve Cohen bought the Mets at 15, you know, with $15 billion of value, buys them at 2.4. And he's been a minority owner throughout this whole mess where they just, they've sort of been on a treadmill, had one good year, and then ever since then, they just really have not been good. And you're going to, I'm going to come in here and just go through it cheap. Let me just do it cheap. Stop it. You get the best because you're in New York. That's how it has to be. And as I open the show, I'll finish the show the same thing. Owners have to understand, the Jets, Giants, Knicks, Mets, all of you. People have been through a lot this last year, and you're going to open your buildings up in 2021. You think people are going to spend money to watch a mediocre product? You think people are just because they can't wait to be in the building? That's why? You have got to have something that people that are going to make people feel good. And right now, there's very few New York teams that make people feel good.
Cohen has to make them believe that it's going to be different, and he can make them feel it's going to be different by opening up.
Somebody's got to do it.
No, I'm sorry, not to
I'll
check.
I'll catch you tomorrow.
Getting them gold bars.
Catch you tomorrow, Bart.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.